to Knots Alive from Asteroid G, presented by the glorious future of 2019. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
Hey, your buddy Mike the Ghoul is here. Not a replicant, the real deal. We're going to talk some old but fun movies, I guess, today, right?
Sort of. It depends on your opinion. So, I know you and I have a disagreement on these movies. Well, at least the first one. Blade Runner. I do not like the first movie. I know a lot of sci-fi geeks do. Like, they're just into it. They think this is great. And don't get me wrong. The presentation is phenomenal. The ideas at play are interesting. The movie itself is boring as shit.
It drags at times. And it's not even, like, that long of a movie by standard.
But it feels longer. Interminable.
Yeah. A lot of exposition, a lot of dialogue, a lot of, like, you know, letting the audience kind of figure it out. Like, you know, it's a good movie. Upon rewatch, again, like, I'm tired of this shit happening with you telling me we have differences. I'm like, no, that's a good movie. And then I watch again. Fuck, he's rubbing off on me. That was not as good as I remember. But it's fine. I will still go to bat that Harrison Ford does a good job. Rutger Hauer plays an amazing villain. And it's just, it's a good movie. But that shit is... It is slow.
Yeah, this thing of, like, I get why people like it. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
The visuals of the movie are phenomenal. That whole mega city look to it with, like, the flying cars and the neon everywhere. That's both dirty and futuristic. That shows, like how the future could be, but also how humanity has fucked it up or whatever. Like, all of that's fantastic from a world-building perspective.
Right.
I like the idea of the cloning, the people that have to chase the clones, how there's mega corporations that are fighting for it, and you can almost see, like, other mega corporations like Weyland Yutani or whatever just, like, sliding right in. It's like this has influenced a lot and then went on to, like, create so much of a world behind it. And then you watch the movie, and it's just a dude running around who happens to run into people he's supposed to kill without really doing any research. And, like... Yeah. He's barely a character, they're barely characters, and all the stuff that you're supposed to figure out, you're supposed to realize you're supposed to figure it out. And if you're just watching it as a movie, you're like, why am I supposed to care?
Yeah, it's true. Like, the most interesting person in the movie is the villain.
Rutger Hauer's great.
You know, rest in peace, sir.
He's also only in it for, like, 5 minutes.
And that's the thing, right? Like, the best part of your movie is the villain who does the most exposition but still holds presence and is not in it very much.
No.
And the rest of it is Harrison Ford doing, you know, his best I'm not Han Solo this time around kind of thing. How much more mopey depressed can I be thing. You really hit on the tone of the movie, though. That neo-noir, futuristic shithole kind of thing. Like, it really does touch on that. And that's, you know, Ridley Scott building the world. You know, Ridley Scott does a good job with these things when he, you know, has done them. He also does some flubs here and there. But, like, when you have the world and the surrounding atmosphere around the characters being a good part of the movie, like, that's when I can get behind it. But other than that, you're right. Like, the parts that I enjoyed as a kid, like, I don't know, maybe I was too busy playing with my dinosaurs or something and watching it at the same time. I didn't like it as much the next time around. I can appreciate it for what it is, 100%, the influence and so on. But definitely was a lot more boring. And we haven't even started talking about the second one yet, about length of time. And we'll get there. But, like, you know, you're right. Like, the movie has more flaws than I remember, but that's why we do this, to talk about this, discuss, and points of views are supposed to change. You're supposed to evolve. But I will stand by parts of the movie are good, but it was not as good as I remember. I won't fight as much as this one as I will as some other ones.
If we take it at face value, that's supposed to be a mystery about a detective hunting down 4 people and taking them out because they're murderers. Okay, I get that. Except he doesn't do any mystery stuff. He just kind of bumbles through the case and it just happens in front of him. The other thing about it being a neo-noir, which it's trying to wave towards, but it doesn't really do a very good job of it, is that, as my wife loves to put it, when the skirt enters the scene, she's supposed to have something going on, an agenda beyond what we understand. Like, the skirt is never supposed to be face value, a good person or a bad person. Oftentimes, she's somehow enmeshed in the villain's plans, and, like, she's, like, working like a double agent if it was an espionage movie, but this is just a down-the-street detective. Like, that's how it's supposed to work. And they introduce the skirt, who's a replicant on her own, unrelated to the other replicants, And then she has no story except maybe he falls in love with her, or maybe he forces himself on her and rapes her. That's the whole, like, there's no story to this story. Where's my story?
Yeah, I don't know. It's Harrison Ford can only do so much,
no,
I guess.
It's not his fault. It's not any of the actors' fault at all, because the actors are great. The world building is great. I feel it's a failure of the script, or maybe the script and the director and the studio all fucking around with each other and not ever finding that gel that needed to happen.
Like, right.
I'm sure someone had a good script here at one point, like, because this doesn't get made without a good script to start with, especially when most of what we actually think about the movie being about isn't on the page. It just, it had to come in from, like, the model directors and the special effects guys and Ridley Scott's vision. Like, what was on the page had to have been good at one point, but this feels like this is, like, one of those ones that died in, like, the editing process.
It's a lot of good ideas that didn't totally hash themselves out, and they just kind of threw shit at a wall, and, like, it's a picture, like, you know, that other meme with the dude from It's Always Sunny with all the string going everywhere. Like, everything's supposed to come together in this certain way.
And then, like, he's a replicant. How do you not know this?
It's a lot of faith in the audience to put it together, you know? Like, I don't know.
It's weird. So I've never, like, I know there's like 8 different cuts of this fucking movie, and I've never enjoyed a single one of them. I've always been so bored. I've watched this movie 3 times. I've never enjoyed it. It's a seminal classic, so you're supposed to enjoy it. I'm like, oh, nah, this is one of those ones I can't. I just can't. It's like when people are like, well, Gone with the Wind was one of the most successful movies ever. I'm like, okay, well, I just don't care about Scarlett. I'm sorry. I'm just never gonna. It's just not gonna happen. I'm sorry, guys. But what's interesting to me is that, you know, 25 years later, they made a sequel that's set 30 years later. And despite everything I expected, it's so fucking good. It's so good. Why does it have to be good?
I mean, I don't know. Like, I didn't like this one as much as the first one.
Wow,
upon rewatch, I'm like, okay, this is better than the first time I saw it. But again, like, my biggest problem with this is the length. Like,
this is long.
Tarantino-esque. You know, this puts a lot of faith in me not going to the bathroom for 3 hours. Like, I mean, I don't know how you saw this thing in the theater, people. Like, crazy.
But it's interesting because this one seems to, like, okay, the world building's the same, but prettier. Denis Villeneuve, I'm his French, I think I'm saying that right, but I may not be. The Dune guy.
Yeah.
They bring the Dune guy in to do, before he did Dune, to do his not quite yet Dune things. And he makes a very pretty movie that feels like somewhere between, stylistically, the original Blade Runner and honestly John Wick, with all the purples and the blues and the neons and everything. It's very pretty. And then he slaps into the middle of this a main character I actually can enjoy, and a girlfriend for him that feels like she actually does something for his character growth, if not necessarily the whole of the movie's plot. And then he has an actual mystery to solve, and it's a legitimate mystery. Yes, it takes 2.5 hours for all the elements to build, because the movie really lets you settle into its mystery slowly. But in comparison to the first movie, it has a plot that you can actually kind of follow, and it builds over time to something.
Yeah, Ryan Gosling does a very good job as the lead in this movie. He has a story. There's twists and turns there. You know, you think that maybe, you know, he's more central to the story, but then maybe not. Like, there's a lot of, like, you know, fakies out in this one. You know, a little fakie here, a little fakie there, a little sneaky.
It does keep you guessing.
It does. And I like that about a movie, because you can see a billion movies and, like, you know, when you figure out the sum of its parts in Act One, the movie's still good, but, like, this one did keep you guessing. But the length, man, come on.
Well, okay, if I'd seen this in the theater, maybe I would have been like, man, that was a long movie to get through. But seeing it home, I could, like, pause it halfway, get up, get a drink, go to the bathroom. Like, I love movies, but I will admit the home theater experience has really spoiled me at this point, especially post-COVID when I don't have to see people at all. Damn, being able to just watch everything at home on a really nice TV and just relax, I love that. So I don't mind the length of the movie as much now, because, yeah, like, maybe I watch it in one sitting, maybe I watch it in 2 or 3, but I get the vibe of it, and I just kind of cruise with the movie as it's going. And this was one of those ones that sucked me in enough that even when I did want to take a break, I didn't want to take a break for very long. Maybe I had to get up, but I want to come back to this movie because it was good.
Yeah, it did have some really good stuff in it. And again, you know, we had Dave Bautista in there, you know, we had some star power, you know, Harrison Ford comes back, Robin Wright's in there, you know, she's been everywhere lately, which
She
is
has.
great to see.
Good for
And
her.
this even has a sprinkling of Jared Leto, which I didn't mind as much. And you know, the Hollywood keeps trying to make Jared Leto a thing, and you know, well, maybe one day they'll hit it, but he'll never be anything other than my so-called life to me, but
He
that's
was,
okay.
yeah, he was the weirdo cult leader replicant guy in this movie, and that's
Yeah.
about as close to casting to type as you can get, because Jared Leto is just the weirdo cult leader strange dude. I mean, it
Yeah.
felt perfectly in character for him. I didn't care about the character. Like, he's supposed to,
Yeah.
this the flaw I think with the movie is him, whatever his name is, Wilhelm, whatever. It
Yeah,
starts with W,
somewhere.
Willard something. I didn't care enough about his character to even memorize his name, which says a lot about this movie. But
Yeah.
like, he's supposed to be the villain, quote unquote, but he never gelled for me. I was more interested in the case, just figuring out the beats of the case itself, than what any of this had to do with what the evil corporation was doing. Because, like, the evil corporation's plans never really felt solidified enough for me to invest in them. That might have been one of those things they were expecting you to invest in a sequel, which don't do sequel building with me, just give me a movie. But he didn't come together for me. I will not deny that. There's If you cut out all of his stuff, I don't think it would have affected the movie at all. Like, having him as a presence that just hangs out in the shadows was more interesting than actually have Jared Leto's character show up at all. He didn't do anything for me.
He really doesn't in
No.
many movies, and it's sad because you know he's in a band too, 30 Seconds to Mars. Like, and he's a halfway decent singer. Like, they got some decent stuff in there, but his acting chops, he's too method. You know, he's just too method in
Way
what
too
he
method.
does.
I'm
He's
sure
too
he sent
method.
people replicants to their vans while he was doing
Yeah,
filming all this. He's
use
such a
condoms and shit again. He's just a weird
strange
dude, man.
fucking guy. We'll get to Tron Ares at some point, like in a year or so, when we've bothered to ever watch that fucking thing. But, like, the fact that he's in that movie made me want to watch it less.
It's so funny you say that because you and I were talking about it the other day, and
Yeah.
we were both like, "This movie is an absolute abomination. I'm not going to go see it until I have to." And I was like, "Yeah, I'm with you." And then the very next day, I see a commercial, the number one movie in America. I'm like, "You guys are lying through your fucking
Oh, yeah.
teeth. This
I mean,
movie's trash."
it was, but that's a heavy asterisk on that movie. But yeah, no, anytime I see that he's in something, I'm less interested by it. The only movie I liked that he was in was Fight Club, and that's because he gets his face destroyed.
Yeah, and you forget he's that little guy that gets jacked up, and it's so funny. He didn't something else he did that was
Oh.
pretty good too. Played like a
Sorry.
drug guy or a drug runner.
Oh, Requiem for a Dream.
Yeah,
That's
yeah,
it's
yeah,
not a bad movie. And don't get me wrong,
yeah.
I actually think that's one of his better performances. I think that's the reason why
Yeah.
people think he can actually be a star, is
Yeah.
because of
Yeah.
that movie. But the thing is, it's like The Long Walk, which we talked about recently. I can only
Yeah.
watch that movie once. I can't go back to Requiem for a Dream. It is too fucking depressing.
It really is, you
Yeah,
know. It's one of
no.
those movies. Once is enough. You come back to
Yep.
it 20 years later. Yep, still hurts. Like,
Yeah,
okay.
like, all the characters end off worse at the end than they were at the beginning, all because of drugs. I mean, thank you, that's a good story. I only needed that once. I don't need to see that again, despite all
Yeah.
the other great people in there. And that's like got like Marlon Wayans actually giving a really good, like,
Really good role, yeah.
dramatic performance and all kinds of shit. And I'm like, this is fantastic. No, thank you. Darren
Yeah.
Aronofsky, you did a great movie. I'm not watching this shit again.
Too true,
Too
too true.
much. Too much.
Yeah.
But no, I like this. I liked so many aspects of it, even despite the fact that the villain doesn't quite come together. And maybe we'll see in the TV series that Amazon is putting together that, like, the villain does something more, or just gets replaced by another villain that no one cares about. Who knows? The core of it works. Ryan Gosling, who I will forever think of as Ken now,
I gotta
just,
still see Barbie. I know I'm
yeah.
gonna like it. I
Oh,
haven't seen it yet.
we'll discuss it once you finally see it. It's good.
Yeah,
But
I know, yeah.
no, yeah, Ryan Gosling is phenomenal here. He's in the character, but he plays it like in an understated kind of way. Because, like, if you watch Barbie or something else, he can play over the top, and it works for him. He was fantastic in The Fall Guy, where he plays a pretty cartoonish character there too. He's
Yeah.
understated here, and it works well with the Hologram, played by Ana de Armas, who's also great. I think her name is Joy, Joi.
Yeah,
And
Joy, yeah.
yeah, and the two of them back and forth, the relationship there, the fact that you aren't quite certain if she really loves him or if that's just her programming. There's a lot of character development there that maybe yes, maybe no is necessary to the film, but it's necessary to me because it makes me care about him in a way I never cared about Harrison Ford's character.
It's true. Like we've talked about, like you need to give me a reason to get attached to these side characters that really are only there to either advance the plot or be there for side support for the main cast. Like you can't be disposable in every form. Like if you make me give a shit about you, and they do a good job with that. Like yeah, I agree.
Honestly, aside from Wallace or whatever his name was, I think the most disposable character, ironically, was Harrison Ford's because he's just kind of tacked in there at the end to actually make it an official sequel. And it makes the movie feel a little less because it ties back into the original movie. No spoilers. But I could have been just as good if this movie didn't have any relation to the first movie, besides the fact that it's set in futuristic LA of a mega city. Like, I was in it just for the mystery. That was cool on its own.
Agreed. Yeah. And but I mean, this is right in that, the last 10-year pocket of we need to get that a little bit of fan service into the movie too. So what better way than to bring back the person from the first one? And then like to your point, they tried to tie it together and all that, but I mean his character had his story and it wasn't even that
It
good.
wasn't even that interesting.
So let me get this story that I'm actually a little invested in. Like I want more of this.
Yeah, I was way invested in this, and sadly, I don't think we're going to get anything more from it, especially because this movie kind of tanked like the first movie kind of tanked,
I mean,
which
yeah.
I feel bad about. I actually think this one deserved to do well. And I mean, in comparison to the first movie, it did, but it still wasn't enough to warrant a sequel.
Yeah, I mean, it barely made 100 million
It.
more than it cost. That is a
Still a
flop
bomb.
by
Like a bomb,
definition.
like if DVD sales and licensing and so forth were successful enough, this probably crossed into the black, but not by very much. Like it was on the cusp of being a failure.
And it's a pretty decent story. Like you said, we're talking about it, we're hashing some things out. It was better in its telling than the first one. The first one built the world really well. This one told the story better.
Yeah, it told well, it had the world already established. We didn't have to
Exactly.
reestablish the world. We could just get into it, and that worked great. I think I'll agree with you. If they trimmed out a half an hour, if they trimmed out Wallace in all but reference, if they trimmed out Harrison Ford's character almost entirely, if they just focused it on Ryan Gosling and his holographic girlfriend and the mystery they were working on, I think it would probably work even better. Maybe enough that other audiences besides me and you would have cared about it. But like, I think on where it is right now, it's still a much better movie than the first one.
Yeah, it's slicker looking, it's
So
come a
much.
long way, 35 years later or whatever it was. I'm thinking I'm quick mathing that feels right. But like I mean,
Thereabouts, yeah.
we'll see what the series looks like coming out. Like I hope they give us a compelling villain because you haven't really had that. The Rucker Hauer was great, but he wasn't in it that much, but he was still the best part of the movie.
Best
And this
part,
one,
yep.
the villain's almost disposable in this movie. It was more about the story of the journey, the hero journey or whatever you want to call it.
Fucking Jared Leto, it's all his fault.
They're just so Hollywood will make this guy a thing and we'll like it
One
apparently.
fucking day!
Yeah.
Wasn't Ron Aries, that didn't do it for him. Maybe again the next time.
Maybe next time.
This has been Not So Live from Asteroid G, going method all over Jared Leto. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
Oh, your buddy Mike the Ghoul here, not gonna send used condoms to his co-stars.
I appreciate that. I don't want them. We will see you all next time.